4:15. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Donnie Football's biggest topic, the Donnie Football debrief, is about 15 minutes away. Let's go back to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's where we find Brian Badko, Steelers insider at the Post-Gazette. All right, Brian, how realistic do you think it is the Steelers would trade for Jakobi Meyers?
I don't know, Pony. I mean, I think one interesting factor there is we know how much Aaron Rodgers needs to be on the same page as his receivers. And, you know, there'd be limited amount of time to get him integrated into the offense with all the hand signals and the chest taps and the head taps and all that. So I don't think they'd want to give up too much in draft capital. They could have done that by now, but I guess we'll see. And the Raiders should probably want a receiver back because that depth chart is looking pretty rough.
What do you think's the most they'd want to give up in terms of picks?
Geez, I mean, you're going to need a lot of ammunition if you want to keep that flexibility to move up for a quarterback if you have the same old 10-7 type of season. I don't know, maybe a fourth or fifth, day three, that kind of thing.
And that, even as much as Mark Davis gives you the vibes that he could do any trade at any time, feels like it wouldn't be enough. To what degree do you buy the idea that the Steelers are somewhat comfortable with their wide receiver room, more comfortable than people are on the outside looking in at them, Brian?
I think that's what I said in my chat today, Chris.
I didn't read it. I'm sorry. I usually read it because Austin Bechtold and Harry Callis submit a lot of good questions to you that you dutifully answer, but I'm sorry that I missed it today.
And sometimes Johnny Sins.
Sometimes, yes. Yes.
Who was a kid's favorite actor at the Little League World Series?
We don't know if it's photoshopped or not, but there was a kid at the Little League World Series that claimed that was his favorite actor.
That's the whole reason I thought of it, because I saw Donnie quote tweet that today.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah, he occasionally works his way into those chats, but that's pretty much exactly what I said. I think whether they're bluffing on that or not, on the actual talent and production expected from their receiving core, or if it's a factor of that a little bit, plus they want to run the ball, plus all the tight ends that they have, and there's only so many receiver targets to go around. I don't think they're prioritizing the de facto wide receiver two as much as you would in most NFL offenses, put it that way.
Let me ask you about, speaking of that, Jonnu Smith. Last night I had someone tell me, The thing that not enough people are talking about is this guy hasn't practiced, barely. We don't know how healthy he is. He got held out of the preseason games. Maybe a little bit of that is being deferential to a veteran. But to your earlier point, if he's going to be a big part of the passing game, which we think he will be, he wants to get on the same page with Aaron Rodgers because of all the stuff Aaron Rodgers values as a quarterback. So do you agree with that, that this is something that's lingering here with Jonnu Smith, that he's not 100%, Brian?
Yeah, I think lingering is probably a good word for it. But I remember back on the first day of training camp, he wasn't in uniform, and I'd heard some rumblings then that it was a knee thing. So maybe they're just being safe with that. He was out there today, at least in the individual portions of which we can take photo and video in the media. So I can say that. So he's back in uniform. That's good. He was going through the line where they try to jar the ball out with a stick. So they're not that worried about his knee. But this is an onboarding process now for him to build all those little nuances into his game with Rodgers, because he did miss practice time.
Brian, here's a random one. What do you think is the possibility, since kicker is so important and Ben Sauls was so good, that some incredibly desperate fringe contender would perhaps trade a very late seventh round pick for this incredible left-footed product out of Pitt to be their kicker?
I got to think low, because we always have that sort of proximity bias, right? Like, he must be the best backup kicker. Mason Rudolph must be the best backup quarterback. Corliss Waitman must be the best backup punter. Like, that one might actually be legit with the Steelers punting situation. But the other guys, I think there's a lot of quarterbacks on depth charts who are better than number two, or better than number three, or in Pittsburgh's case, better than number four. Same probably goes for Sauls, although I did see Tom Pelissero just reported the Steelers informed Sauls they're going to waive him if they can't trade him, which I don't think that's exactly a Tom bomb there. He wasn't going to beat out Chris Boswell, but anyway, that's been floated into the NFL news breaking ecosystem recently.
Let's make some bets to make the team final roster, brought to you by Bet Parks. Bet on sports and play all your favorite casino games for real money on the Bet Parks online casino and sportsbook app. Brian, what's going to happen with the third string quarterback spot?
Even though Tomlin said today that Will Howard could be nearing full participation, I'm going to say they do use one of those two designated to return IR spots on him, put him on the shelf for at least 4 weeks, and then that way you have a little bit more runway to figure out what's going on with Rudolph, Skylar Thompson, and keeping them all in the mix.
Here's a random question just about that short-term IR. You only have 8 of those in a given year to utilize, Brian. Have you ever gone back and looked at how close, if at all, they've ever been close to using all 8, where they might not want to do that here because they might have 7 other short-term injuries like that?
I remember getting close, I feel like, last season. At the end of the year, they kind of like dump out the bag of toys that are still in there who might have a chance. But last year, they used those short-term slots on relatively insignificant players like Dylan Cook and Jeremiah Moon, who, you know, you'd take it or leave it if Cook ends up being your swing tackle or Moon gets in the mix. Moon did, but that'd be interesting to go back and look. These rules are kind of ever-changing, so they haven't had this structure in place for a while. But, yeah, I mean, you have to be a little bit prudent with your use of those return slots for sure.
Is Beanie Bishop going to make the team?
That's an iffy one. I mean, I kind of forgot to ask around about him today because he's kind of a forgotten man in this secondary with bringing in Jalen Ramsey, and Brandon Echols too is the one that, you know, doesn't get mentioned as much. His versatility, it kind of puts guys like Corey Trice and Beanie Bishop behind the 8 ball because he can do both. And I think Mike Tomlin has a lot more trust in him than either of those two guys on the outside or the slot. I'll still say yes on Beanie, but I just don't know what's going on with him not playing in that last preseason game. Didn't see him around today during that video shooting portion. So maybe he's a low-key IR candidate too.
Well, that was weird too, because Terrell Austin like made it a point to say, if you're a Beanie Bishop fan, watch this last preseason game. You're going to get a whole heaping helping of Beanie Bishop. And then he didn't play.
It wasn't even so much that, but it was more like, yeah, he needs to provide some splash. And, like, that's a pretty narrow needle to thread there when you're, like, asking a corner to go out there and
Brian,
pick off a pass or force a fumble.
Right, exactly. They were setting the bar high, but also he was, like, the one dude in the secondary who did make some splashy plays last year. He's picking off Rodgers twice in a game. I thought that was just, I don't know, I thought the whole thing was strange.
Yeah, I think looking back, some of those were certainly circumstantial. And it's like, you know, a ball comes your way and you just happen to be that guy in that place, you better make the play. And that's kind of like James Pierre's pick against Carolina. Like, pretty much lobbed right to a credit that he was able to haul it in. But sometimes I think we overrate defensive backs a little bit on option numbers. And that Dante Jackson led the team with 5 last year. I don't think anybody was clamoring for him to return.
Who wins the punter's job?
I've been saying Waitman sort of just to be a little bit different than the crowd. And I mean, for me personally, I just think the ability to completely flip that field and turn it over to your gunners, especially if you think you have 2 of the better ones around. And if it ends up being Pierre and Skoranek or Echols and Skoranek, then that's really useful to have somebody with that kind of leg and a lefty himself. But I can see it going either way. I'll just, for the sake of good radio, I'll put my weight behind Waitman.
Brian, any name players? So Bishop kind of qualifies, so somebody other than him. Oh, I'm hearing myself for a second. Anybody that's a big name player for the Steelers, like a guy people really do know, who you think might be a surprise cut?
I mean, some of the trendy, sleeper picks in recent years or draft picks that people liked and thought were steals, like a DeMarvin Leal or Corey Trice. I mean, I think they might be on thin ice. These injuries at edge rush line potentially help Leal, but you know the opposite is true for Trice. I mean, he can just never stay healthy, never get on the field. Eventually, those things just add up for a front office and a coaching staff, and just becomes, we really can't count on you. So hopefully you get healthy, but you've kind of the time's run out on you here.
What is Brian Batko's 2025 official Steelers record prediction?
I'm going 10-7. I just can't really move off of that until I see otherwise, to the good or to the bad. Because it's funny, I feel like sometimes you say that to Steelers fans here. This happened at basketball the other day, Pony. I mentioned that to someone. They asked me the same question. I said 10-7, and someone's like, wow, that's so pessimistic of you. But I had someone who, a national NFL writer, text me and asked me for a prediction. I said 10-7. He said, that's so optimistic of you. So that's the Steelers for you. And I feel like they tend to just settle in the usual middle until I see otherwise.
Do they make the playoffs?
Oh, that's where it's tough. You're going to factor in the other teams. I'll say yes. I'm optimistic enough from what I've seen to say they sneak in there, but not enough to start leapfrogging them over these other teams who I think are just much more built for success right now.
Do they win a playoff
barring
game?
Injuries. No, I don't think so.
Well, the good thing is we haven't seen them do that recently in any years, losing the wild card.
That round is not a good thing, though, Chris.
I was being sarcastic. We see them do that almost every year.
Thank you, Brian. We'll talk again soon.
Bye, Brian.
All right. See you guys.
All right.
For the people